praise God. Praise God. Praise God, man. Listen, I hope that you're getting ready to begin your discipleship journey. And if you have begun it, I hope you're ready to continue your journey to becoming all that God wants you to be. I'm grateful and thankful to the Lord today to have my friend, a brother beloved. We have been in this city together for the 19 years that he has been at the St. John Church, and we have been together for 19 years. He has been arguably my closest and best friend in this city. We have shared through the storm and the rain together. He was there when my mother passed in 2008 to stand by my side as a brother. Situations went on in life. Personally, he was there. We were there for each other, praying together, laughing together, crying together. And I'm grateful for his friendship. But he's not only here because he's my friend to kick off this 30th anniversary. He's here because he is God's preacher and he's somebody's preacher. We were blessed at the 8 o'clock service. And I told him, you do whatever you want to do. If you want to do it again at 8, that's fine. You want to do something different, that's fine. Folk who missed the 8, if they don't hear it at 10, they can go online and see it on YouTube. And if you decide to, it's worth watching again. Amen. I remember when I was a kid, and this was before they had all of the multiplexes. You remember you had one movie theater, and they would show that one movie. And I would stay in the theater to watch the movie, the same movie over at least once or twice. I had to see that movie all over. And if it was really good, I stayed there the whole afternoon, 3 hours. Just go get some popcorn, come on back, and watch that same movie all over again, because that's how good it was. And this preacher is just a gift to the body of Christ. He's known around this country, and I'm just grateful that he calls me his friend. Let's thank God for Dr. Terrence Grant Malone, senior pastor at the historic St. John Missionary Baptist Church on Emancipation. Now, before he comes, there's one thing we've got to do, and then I'm going to turn us over to the maestro in the house, our own Elder Mark Taylor. I need all of the June birthdays to stand. Where are all the June birthdays? I see you, Stace. All right. Stand up, all of the June birthdays. Well, I'm singing happy. Happy birthday to you. Well, I'm singing happy. Oh, Lord, happy birthday. Don't you know you look fine? We hope you have. Hey, we're singing happy. Ooh, we're singing happy. Yeah, we're singing happy. Happy birthday. Hope you have a happy birthday. Hope you have many, many more. Before our special musical guest comes, let me recognize a resolution that has come from my congresswoman, our congresswoman, Congresswoman Sheila Jackson Lee. Where's her representative? Stand on your feet. Come on, let's thank God for our congresswoman. I'm not going to let them read the resolution. It's a bunch of whereases and whereases, and y'all know all the whereases. But I want to recognize him, and I want him to let the congresswoman know how much we appreciate her. We appreciate her love and support down through the years. And I'm so glad, y'all. I'm so glad that she is still the Congresswoman of the 18th Congressional District. Our community has millions of reasons why we should thank God for Congresswoman Sheila Jackson Lee, and we're grateful for that. So please tell the Congresswoman thank you for the honor, and thank you for thinking of us on the beginning and kickoff of our 30th anniversary. Elder Taylor, we're in your hands, sir.
Good morning, Good Hope. Man, it is my honor and pleasure to introduce to you our musical guest this morning. Dr. James Mabel is a native of Navasota, Texas, and he is now part of the Houston Gospel community. He's a very educated man, received his bachelor's, master's, and PhD from the Prairie View A&M University. His single, It Shall Come to Pass, in October 2021, made it to number one on the Billboard charts. Another single, I'm Free, received Grammy consideration in 2020. He was also a contestant on BET's Sunday Best. And he is here now to bless the body of Christ. Good Hope, will you please help me to welcome Dr. James Mabel Jr.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord, everybody. Come on, we're clapping our hands for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We're clapping our hands for the one that woke us up early this morning. We're clapping our hands for the one that started us on our way. We're clapping our hands for the one that has kept us all week long. We're clapping our hands for the one that has kept our children. I'm waiting for your Good Hope. We're clapping our hands for the one that has kept our grandchildren. We're clapping our hands for the one that has been our sustainer, our keeper, our right hand. Somebody shout Jesus in the room. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Dr. Cofield, happy anniversary. Thank you for the opportunity to Lady Cofield. Amen, Maestro Taylor. Y'all get up for Maestro Taylor here. Listen, absolute legend. As he said, I'm just a little country boy from Navasota, but live here in Houston, and God has been faithful and kind to me. And I do understand that I am in the third ward of Texas, of Houston, and there's a lot of maroon down the street with the Texas Southern University Tigers. I got kinfolk that, I got you. It's all swag love. It's all swag love. But God has been kind and faithful. I don't take these opportunities for granted. God allows me to travel the country and to share. And God has been good to me. You are looking at a walking miracle. Just 13 years ago, while working on my PhD at Prairie View, I'm headed back to Navasota to play at a funeral at my dad's church, get 5 minutes away from the church and fall asleep at the wheel. This accident, I flipped my Jeep 7 times on a full tank of gas with no seatbelt on. And so the vehicle should have blown up. And my dad's getting ready to walk the family in to view the body of, unfortunately, my godbrother who was killed in a bad drug deal. And they get the service done. They get me to the hospital. And the doctors tell my parents, Pastor Mabel, Lady Mabel, we regret to inform you that your son has fractured 24 of the 25 bones in his left foot, and all of the nerve endings from his left hip down to his toes are shattered. We're sorry to inform you that your son is now paralyzed, and he's going to have to be in a wheelchair for the rest of his life, and there's a 90% chance that your son will never walk again. And so for a year and a half, I am confined to a wheelchair, going to Bible study and choir rehearsal and the family reunion and Walmart and the mall in a wheelchair. And at that time, I'm 25 years old, working on a PhD. I said, God, why did you do this to me? Why did you put me in this predicament? And he whispered to me and said, I have a plan and a process that I have to take you through in order for you to be a testimony to somebody else. And so for a year and a half, I rolled in a wheelchair, and I started the PhD program at Prairie View in a wheelchair. That was the first weekend of class. But 4 years later, I walked across the stage as the second youngest PhD to ever come out of Prairie View A&M. And sometimes, just to make the devil mad, I walk because I feel like it. Because what he thought he meant for evil, God turned that, I wish I had a witness, turned that thing around for my good. And I believe one reason why the Lord left me here so I could walk into Good Hope to remind somebody, if it's just one person, don't you ever give up on God. Don't you ever give up on your master, your healer, your savior, because he will be there for you. And so I'll just say this. In my days of rolling the wheelchair, I said something like this. I need the all. I need thee. Every hour. Thank God I need thee. To thee, because you made a way. When my back was against the wall and it looked as if it was over. Anybody ever had your back against the wall? You made a way. I'm not the only one in the room and online that can say, and I'm standing here only because you made a way. Because you move mountains, you cause walls to fall with your power. Perform. I want you to put your Good Hope DZ Cofield voice on. Look down your row and say, neighbor. Oh, come on. Put your voice on and say, oh, neighbor. Sooner or later. is gonna turn in your favor. Look down your row and say, sooner, sooner or later, it's gonna turn in your favor. I know it's been hard. I know you had some setbacks. I know you cried some tears, but sooner or later, it's gonna turn in your favor. It's turning around for me. It's turning around for you. Look down your row and say, it's turning around for you. It's turning around, round for little old you. 'Cause God is concerned about your situation. I wanna let somebody know that God has you on his mind. Turning around for me. Some of you cry some tears this week that nobody else saw, but God will dry every tear from your eyes sooner or later. It's gonna turn in your favor. Turn it around for me. I'm gonna say this, I'm gonna make it on out the way. This is what my late grandma used to say. I don't feel no waste time. I come too far from where nobody told me that the road would be easy. After 39 years of living, I don't believe that the good Lord has brought me this far. I said, I don't believe for. Can I get somebody to lift your hands and shout, I don't believe. Come on, tell somebody, I don't believe that the Lord has brought you this far to leave me. And now, let the weak say, I am strong. You gotta declare this over your week. Let the poor say, I am rich because of what the Lord has done for us. And now, let the weak, say, I am rich because of what the Lord has done for us. Take me to church, Mark. Somebody ought to give him thanks. Somebody ought to give him thanks. I know I got some believers in good.
kind of sound like somebody know the Lord has been good to you. I'm just going to read verse 7. Y'all read the rest when y'all get home. Amen. That last piece. And they start asking, is the Lord among us or not? Is the Lord among us or not? I just want to ask the question, where is God? That's it. Where is he? Where is God? Thank you, Mark. Thank you, Paul. Where is God? This is a painful and a penetrating text, because Christianity was launched in a sophisticated world, launched in the hallway the monopoly of Judaism or Jewish religion. But Christianity thrives adversity as opposed to Christianity when our backs are against the wall in charge. Yes, sir. My sisters, the cruel and inhumane treatment of men, dates up among saints, homicides across this country. And I know that you're too holy to ask them today. But for the rest of us, we ask questions like, Lord, where are you right now? Have you gone on vacation? Have you left us here? Did you take a lunch break? Have you quit being God while innocent people are dying? Have you taken a break on us while we struggle with mental health? Have you left us to deal with these issues alone? And I know that you're too holy to ask them, but some of us who've had diagnosis and prognosis, and those of us who face oppression, suppression, depression, regression, recession, have asked a question in the middle of it all, where is God? Now, I know what you're saying. My mom taught me, my dad taught me, you don't question God. Truth. But there are many of us who need to start asking questions to God. And so here in the text, they ask a question, is the Lord among us or is he not? God is all powerful. God is all knowing. And yet it appears that places in life have us in various predicaments where we ask the question, is God really here? Does he understand what I'm going through? And Rabbi Harry Kushner wrote some years ago in his book, Why Do Good Things Happen to Bad People? Why do bad things happen to good people? But the antithesis is really, why is God so good to bad people like you and I? I know you're not going to admit it, but the rest of us will, that it's called a grace factor. God has been good to us in spite of us. And the difference between good and bad is caught and uncaught. And you ain't gonna shout this morning because you ain't been caught. But for the rest of us, hello, by 10 or 12 of us in here who know that we were speeding and we ain't had no business, who know that we were talking about I shall wear a crown and it ain't had nothing to do with the one y'all sang about, but it was royal. Hello, somebody. There are a few of us who've said some words that were not scripture. They weren't Aramaic. They weren't Hebrew. They weren't Greek. There are a whole lot of us who've been some places in the nighttime that we would be ashamed to talk about if we talked about them in the daytime, but it's because
because of the grace of God that we are here today. We wear our white, we wear our suits, we wear our nice clothes, we got our big Bibles, but the truth of the matter is all of us are messed up. Do I have any messed up people in the house? Y'all ain't gonna say it because you're sitting on the front row. Let me go to the balcony. Any messed up folk in the balcony? Oh, y'all too holy for me. Let me go to the choir. Any messed up folk in the choir who recognize that if it had not been for the Lord? Preachers, y'all ain't saying that. Let me go to the preachers. We all messed up. I say, any messed up preachers in the house? I knew they were gonna jump up because we all have sinned. And in this passage before us today, I'm preaching it because Israel had similar questions. God's people are en route to the promised land, and God has promised to deliver them out of the hands of Pharaoh, and he's leading them through the wilderness where there are no street signs, and he's leading them where he feeds them when they're hungry and give them water when they're thirsty, and yet they come to a place called Rephidim and they are restless. Anybody in the house can testify, I'm supposed to be on vacation and everybody keeps calling me. I'm supposed to be sick and it seems like I get sicker when I deal with people. I'm supposed to be resting and I'm restless. And they're restless because there's no water to drink. And they chide with Moses saying, give us something to drink. And they leave this question with us. Is the Lord among us? Basically, they're saying, where is God? And I'm preaching this morning because many of us will not ask the question publicly. But in the private corridors of our mind, we want to know, has God left me by myself? Some situations are so heinous and horrid, so grilling and gruesome, and it fractures our faith, no matter how saved you are. And while this is occurring, it seems so overwhelming. And not only are we questioning, is God with us, but we are questioning whether God even exists. And I know I'm talking to some pseudo-saints. The reason I'm saying God is real because there are predicaments that would make you think, Lord, why have you left me by myself? And what stirred them to ask this question of God? Number one, they had the wrong perspective. Say the wrong perspective on God's presence. Israel has a water issue. The threat of them dying and dehydration is right there because God has led them to an unpreferred place. He's led them to an undesirable place that's not threatening their maintenance, but threatening their survival. Their livestock, their cattle, their families, their health. America is experiencing the same thing right now. And we're wondering if the idiot who was once in the White House is gonna get back again. And we're saying, Lord, if you up there. Please come by here, good Lord. They question God's presence on the verge of losing everything. And it's easy for us to maintain cordiality when we're just trying to make it. Yeah, it's all right when you got a job. It's all right when your education is paid for. But if you've been like me at an HBCU trying to stand in line to see if your financial aid has come in. I saw two or three of y'all wave your hand. They're going to get it right for you next semester. If you're trying to figure out if it's today is the second and tomorrow is the third, I wonder how many days I got before they put that notice on my apartment. If you're wondering if I got 15 days before I'm late with my mortgage, you're concerned about God stepping in on time. My mother is sick. My children are sick. My spouse is ill. God, how can I manage
this trouble. But I need to tell you, brothers and sisters, we mistaken the absence of trouble for the confirmation of the presence of God. I know you missed it. We mistake the absence of trouble as the confirmation for the presence of God. But you cannot confine nor define God by your circumstance. We've become spoiled by the blessings and benefits that God has allowed us to have. But can I tell you, every now and then, God will allow some hardship to come your way. It's too quiet in here. I said, every now and then, God will allow some hardships to come your way. But let me tell you something, he's still God. Whether you're experiencing plenty or scarcity, he's still God. Whether you're sick or whether you have health, he's still God. Whether you're broke or you got money, he is still God. And he says, I am the same yesterday. I wish I had about 50 folk in here who didn't mind running right here through it. I'm the same yesterday. I got a testimony. He's the God of Big Mama and Momo and all of it. He's the same God yesterday, today, and forevermore. And if he was real back then, I know I wish I had about 10 people who had the audacity to stand on your feet and say, I don't know what he is to you, but I know he's real to me. Circumstances affect us, but God is unbothered, unhindered, not confined nor defined by our circumstance. Lack of resources hinder us, but they don't hinder God. And I want to suggest to us that God has more to do with our trouble than we want to believe it. Sometime God either sends you into trouble, or sometime God allows you to experience trouble. It is because God wants your total and complete dependence to be on him. You ever had your back up against the wall trying to figure out how you were going to make it? It's because God wants you to know you cannot make it unless you have me. But if I'm with you, I'm more than the world. Against you. God allowed this. Sometimes the ordeal you are facing is simply confirmation. 30 years, Pastor Cofield, every trouble, every hater, every piece of degradation and dehumanization, it was simply confirmation of one thing. God is with me. And new beginnings often disguise themselves as painful endings. Sometimes God allows you to end some things so that he can prepare some new things for your life. That's why you ought to quit tripping over people and when they mess with you and when they do you wrong. Just get your knife and your fork, because the book says he prepares a table. In the presence of my enemy. So get ready to eat. When you see your enemy, get ready to eat. Get prepared and say, I know what you thought about me. I know that you thought I was out, but I'm just getting prepared. Because he prepares a table before me. Let me move on. I'm preaching too long. Got 8 minutes. They were wrong about God's presence. Secondly, they were wrong about God's plan. God lays out a plan for Israel in Exodus 2. And he says, I've seen your affliction, I've heard your cry, and I'm going to deliver you to a land flowing with milk and honey. God gave them the destination, but he didn't give them the details. What happens when God gives you the destination with no details? Israel's problem is they believe that God's plan for their lives did not involve any misfortune, did not involve any opposition. But I want somebody to understand something. that when you experience lack and opposition, it's only an opportunity for God to bless you. You need to understand that setups or setbacks are really setups for comebacks. And the same people who had to see you lose got to see you win. Some of y'all don't know how to receive it. People talking about prophecy. Here it go right here. I said the same people that saw you lose got to stand and watch you win. I'm going to say it one more time. I want you to go to work with this one. The same folk who saw you lose got to see you win. And I know you good church people, but I throw it up and say, all I do is win, 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 win. No matter what, I win, win, win. You got to look the devil in the face and tell him you don't do anything but win. So when he comes in again, God lifts up the standard of you. Come on, I wish I had somebody here. And all you tell the devil is what I tell him, because I'm from the Powhatan. I'm from the hood of Beaumont. I tell him, knock if you pull. God is with me. Yeah. Not give you buck. Not give you buck. God allows problems, y'all, to be a part of his plan. And we want to appreciate good relationships till you've experienced some bad ones. You want to experience and appreciate the sunshine till you've been through some rain. And if you get nothing I've said from this sermon, you ought to get that before you can have a breakthrough, you've got to have a breakdown and sometimes a breakup. You can't trip about people because they left you. Tell them goodbye, arrivederci, adios, deuces. You can get to stepping because what God has for me, I said what God has for me. I'm trying not to holler at y'all, but I feel like hollering. I said what God, yeah, what God has for me, eyes have not seen. Had the wrong perspective on God's presence. Had the wrong perspective on God's plan. God's plan involves sometimes losing in order to gain. That's the way his economy works. And finally, they had the wrong perspective on God's power. They've failed the same test for a second time. God keeps giving them. How do you fail an open book test? In Exodus 15, they had a water problem at Mirah. It was bitter, and God turned the water sweet. And he gives them a retest. He gives them a makeup test, and yet they still flunk in the test. But I need to tell you, the same God, Cameron, who took care of your issue in Exodus 15, is the same God who's able to handle it in Exodus 17. There's an expiration date to milk. There's an expiration date to eggs. I keep telling my wife there's an expiration date to a lot of stuff, but there ain't no expiration date to God's power. You don't know how to shout? I said, there's no expiration date on God's power. He had power in 15. He's got power in 17. He had power in 94. He's got power in 24. The same God who blessed you back then is able to do it right now. The same God who healed your body before is able to do it right now. If you believe he's got power, give him a shout. Is he? Where is God? And so with my 3 minutes left, he gives them instruction. And let me tell you this, if God's instructions make sense to your natural mind, then they're not God's instruction. And if God's instruction fits into your budget, it's not God's instruction. You see, because the way God does it, Vaughn, he's got to give you something so big. Chris Johnson, he's got to give you something so supernatural that when you get it, you won't believe you did it by yourself. But you have to give him all, shucks, all the glory. Because you recognize that God's power is still with us. And you recognize, no matter how bad it looks, I feel like whooping a little bit, that God is still among us, that his power is still real, that God still specializes in things that seem impossible. He was there all the time. Well, do I have anybody anywhere in the house that can say, when my back was against the wall, he was right there for me every step of the way? Is there anybody here who's glad this morning that you can go through anything and God will be right there? I got a couple of questions for you. Won't he do it? I said, won't he do it? Won't he be there for you? I said, won't he do it? Won't he dry tears from your eyes? Won't he do it? Have you tried him? Ain't he all right? I said, ain't he all right? You ought to go crazy in this house because you recognize where you are. God brought you what you know. God taught you where you go. God will take you there. Won't he do it? I know this is old school, but I got Creole blood. When you got the victory, you ought to wave your towel and say, yeah! Good God Almighty. Oh, yes! He's right there. Tears in your eyes. He's right there. Down to your last dime. He's right there. Do you believe it? Say it! Say it! Sorry, y'all. Yes! And ain't no party like a Holy Ghost party, because a Holy Ghost party don't stop. Everybody, get on your feet. Lift up your hands. Open your mouth. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Good God Almighty. Ain't he all right? Shout till you get your victory. Shout till you get your joy. Shout till you get your family. Shout till you get your house back. Shout, 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 till healing comes. Shout. I said, if you got the victory, I said, if you got the victory, you ought to act like it. Lift up your hands and say, I got the victory because Jesus gave it to me on a hill called Calvary. He died. He died, but early.
said early, shout early, Sunday morning, what did he do? What did he do, y'all? He got up. Now this don't make no sense. I ought not be hollering like this, but every train hollers when it crosses a track, and he's crossed me through many dangers, tars, and snares. So excuse me. Oh! 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 Some of y'all scared to dance, I'll dance for you. Anybody put it together? When I think about Jesus, what he's done for me, when I think about Jesus, how he set me free, I can... Jesus. When I think about Jesus, how he set me free, I can dance, dance, dance. Come on here, background singers, y'all help me. To God be the 30 years to God.